Welcome to our bankers conference. You can go to Acts 10. I'm going to teach on identification with Christ. Acts 10. Acts 10:38, talking about Jesus Christ. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So he had Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and he had power. And he went about, meaning he went to different places, Jesus Christ did. He went to different places doing bad, right? Is that what it says? Doing what? Good. Jesus Christ went all over the place, to different places, and wherever he went, he did good. He did good things for people. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For what's it say? For God was with him. So Jesus Christ went to different places, went all around, and he did good things for people. And he healed people that were oppressed of the devil. It's the devil who oppresses people in this world. God never oppresses anybody. God is light. There's no darkness in God whatsoever. And Jesus Christ went around doing good for people and healing people who were oppressed of the devil. And who was with him? God was with him. God was with him. Look at Psalm 34. He did good. And you know why that was? Because he was representing God. He was showing people what God is like. People don't really know that God is good, that God is a really wonderful and loving God. And Jesus Christ went around representing God and showing people how wonderful God was, just what God would do for people, what he wanted to have, what he wanted to do for people, or what he wanted people to have in their lives. And that's because God is really good. God is all light. He's really good. And in Psalm 34, verse 34:8, it says, what's it say there? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? God is good. God is good. And good means he cares about people. When God has his way, when he can work in your life, he brings health. He brings health to people. He brings joy to people. He brings prosperity to people. He's beneficial. He does really, really good things for people. That's what he wants for you. He wants to work in your life. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to have great joy, great peace. He wants to be of benefit to you. And Jesus Christ, God was with Jesus Christ. And wherever Jesus Christ was, he showed people how wonderful God is. He healed people. He cast out spirits. He spoke the word. He helped people because that's what God wanted him to do. And look at John 1. John 1. Jesus Christ really, really loved his Father. And he wanted people to know how wonderful his Father was. You know, God gets a bad rap in the world today, doesn't he? I heard a few weeks ago that God killed somebody. God never kills anybody. The adversary, the devil, kills people. Or people say that God makes people sick. God doesn't make people sick. It's the adversary, the devil, who oppresses people, who makes people sick. It's not God who does those kind of things. God is, you know what benign means? He doesn't hurt anybody. He loves people. And he gets lied about a lot in this world because the devil runs this world. What did you call this place, Michael? The gloomy gloom of the gloomiest gloom of gloom? Something like that? Well, it's not God making it gloomy and gloomy and gloomier and gloomier. It's the adversary. And Jesus Christ went around showing people what God was like and doing God's will for people. In John 1:18, it says, no man has seen God at any time. So some of you are wrong. Sorry. Because has anybody seen God?
No.
All right, some of you are wrong. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And he came to make people know who God was. He made known God. That was his job. And he would do stuff like this. Look at Luke 7. Here's an example. Look at Luke 7. In Luke 7:11, it says, And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the city, the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. Now, Jesus Christ always did what God wanted him to do, and he wanted to show people how wonderful God is. And when the Lord saw her, He had what? He, you know, this lady had lost her son. She was a widow. He had compassion, which means he felt bad for her. And he wanted to help her. And God is a God of great compassion. When you're having a hard day or a hard week or a hard life, he cares. It bothers him. And he wants to help. He wants to help you. And because Jesus Christ was there, God was able to help in this situation because God was there with Jesus Christ, working in Jesus Christ. He had Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. He had the authority to use the power of God, and he was able to show people how wonderful God is, and he was able to help people in this situation. He told her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." Right there, he starts to comfort her. And he came and touched the bier. I guess there was a beer there. And they that bare him stood still. And it wasn't very complicated what he said or what he did. He touched the thing that was carrying the dead guy. And he just said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." That's all he did. But because he had the power of God and the authority to use it, what happened? And he that was dead, what did he do? Sat up. That happens, you know. People do get raised from the dead. And he that was dead sat up. And he began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, great respect, great awe. Everybody's like, "Wow, this is so wonderful. This is so amazing." They had a lot of, they just go, "Man, this is so cool." And there came a fear on all, and they glorified who? God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. They're going, "God has visited us." And that word visit means to look upon, to look at, to view, or to go and see. It means to visit with a view to help, to relieve, or deliver. So they're saying, it's like God came and helped us. But how did God come and help them? Jesus Christ, with the Spirit of God in him, with the power of God, came representing God and helped them. It took Jesus Christ going places, doing good for people to see how wonderful God is. And the people, they're like, "God really cares about us. God came and really, really helped us." And that's what Jesus Christ did. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation," to wit. Now, this is God was in Christ, remember? God was with Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He wasn't, you know, telling them they're all whacked out or whatever. He wasn't condemning them all the time. He was there to help them, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto who? Us, the word of reconciliation. Now then, whose ambassadors? We are ambassadors for God, as though God did beseech by who? By us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And notice that little phrase, in Christ's stead. Jesus Christ is no longer here on earth, is he? Now we represent Christ. We walk this earth. We go from place to place doing good, bestowing benefits, helping people, showing people what God is really like, how kind and loving and wonderful he is. Jesus Christ is not here. He ascended into heaven. And now we are the ones who walk in his stead. The word identification means a person's sense of identity with someone or something. And, you know, you could say, "Well, I'm from New Jersey." By the way, there are people from New Jersey in here, too. They weren't mentioned, but we're used to being disrespected. It's okay. And if you come to New Jersey, we won't respect you either, but that's another story. New Jersey has the greatest road in the universe. It's called the New Jersey Turnpike, with the greatest rest areas. They have every kind of restaurant you can imagine. But I might say I'm from New Jersey, but I don't. Because I'm from Montana, and that sounds cooler, doesn't it, in New Jersey? But that's how I identify myself. I'm Joe. I'm from Montana. But, you know, people are into identification these days. I identify as a dog. I identify as a frog. But what do we identify as? People with Christ in them. We identify as sons and daughters of God. We identify ourselves as people who stand in Christ's stead. Was it Antioch where they started calling them Christians? Well, the people of Antioch were smart alecks, kind of like New Jersey people, I guess. And they kept saying, the believers in Antioch, it's Christ in us, it's Christ in us. And they started calling them Christians as a joke, because they were kind of sarcastic. But we identify ourselves as sons of God with Christ in us. And now wherever you go, Christ is there. God in Christ is there. That's who you are. That's who you really are. Wherever you go, it's like God's visiting that place because it's God and Christ in you. And that was God's plan all along. Look at 1 John 4. Sorry, Chris, I'm jumping around. 1 John 4. Someone come up here and find John for me. No, 1 John 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's today. Now, this is an amazing phrase. Because as he is, what? So are we in this world. We are representing Christ in this world. As Christ is, so are we in this world. And your identity is someone with Christ in you, God in Christ in you. And you can go from place to place and do good things for people and help people who are being oppressed by the devil. And that was God's plan. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he could only go to one place, right? Just look around. We're from all different places. And when we leave this weekend, everywhere that you go, back to your home, every part of the world, every part of the country, God in Christ will be going there too. God's peace will be there. God's love will be there. God's healing will be there, because all of those things are in you. You got those things when you got born again. All the cool qualities of God. Look at Colossians 2. All the wonderful things that God is, you carry with you. And that's your true identity. You are a son and daughter of God. You are the brother of the Lord or sister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you go, whether you realize it or think about it or not, it's God in Christ in you. Colossians 2. Are you following so far? All right. Colossians 2. 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ was all the fullness of God was in Christ. God filled him with all that he is, Holy Spirit. All the wonderful things that God is was in Jesus Christ when he ran around. God's power to provide, God's power to heal, God's power to cover for you, God's power to give you peace. God with all of his resources, God who forgives sins, God who is always present to bless, God who is a God of love, God who is a God of grace, all that walked around with Jesus Christ, because remember it said God was with him. He had spirit, the spirit of God, and that's a part of what's in the spirit of God. And verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness, it should be head God, of the head God bodily. And what's the next thing? And who? Ye are complete in him. You have all those things also. You got them when you got born again. And so your identity is someone who carries all those wonderful things around with you wherever you go, all those wonderful qualities of God. Look at Acts 3. Do you follow that? Isn't that amazing? You can represent God and do all those wonderful things for people. Heal people, help people. Know what's going on when no one else does. Cast out spirits. Figure out a situation. Help a family. Help an individual with spiritual power. That's what you have inside of you. That's what God intended. In Acts 3, verse 1 says, Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John, regular guys, Peter made a lot of mistakes after this. You can read them in the Bible. He wasn't perfect, but he had Christ in him, you know? So he could do incredible stuff, even if he wasn't so perfect. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. I don't know what time that was. And And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. You know, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "We've made a collection for you, and we have a rocket-powered wheelchair that we want to present to you." Or what do we do these days? What do you call it? A GoFundMe? We did a GoFundMe. There's nothing wrong with helping people with money and material things. But if you're born again, you have better tools. You have better tools to help people than material things. You have Holy Spirit. You're filled with the fullness of God. And you can bring to pass amazing things for people as you walk. So he says, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us," and gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." I don't have none of that. So I can't help you. Is that what he said?
No.
"Silver and gold have I none." Amazing what he said. "But such as I have, give I thee." What did he have? He had Christ in him. He had the power and presence of Christ in him. He got it when he got born again. He was filled with the fullness of God. The greatest tools to helping people, or the greatest tool for helping people, is that Holy Spirit that you have inside. We help each other move, don't we? Some people, we help each other move every month, it seems like. We give people food, we'll give people money, we'll do all sorts of cool things for people. But the greatest tool or ability that you have to help people is that Holy Spirit that you got when you got born again. And you ought to take that seriously, that maybe you're not perfect, maybe you have some crazy thoughts once in a while, maybe you're even bald, I don't know. But you have the Spirit of God in you. You're filled with the fullness of God. That's all the cool things that God is able to do. You walk around with that, and at least remember that you can help people with your Holy Spirit also. And that's the greatest help. Look at this. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I they in the name of" who? "Jesus Christ of Nazareth." What? That's impossible. This guy was lame from his mother's womb. But with God, all things are possible. And now God was visiting that guy, because who was there? Peter and John, regular believers like you and me. And so because they walked and they knew what they had, they were able to help that guy with the Spirit of God, which is the greatest help. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, what did he do? He leaping up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping. And what? He was so blessed. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. That's a pretty good witness, isn't it? Yeah, that got a lot of attention, because everybody knew that guy. And all of a sudden, he was hopping around and all happy, full of joy and stuff like that. And how come he got healed like that? Some guys, regular guys. And like I said, they weren't perfect. They had their problems once in a while. But they had the Spirit of God inside. And they knew what they were all about. They identified themselves first and foremost as a son or daughter of God, someone with the power of God in them. And they knew what they had, and they knew what they could do. "Silver and gold have I none, but I do have something." Get up and walk. And each one of you in here can do the same thing. Not tomorrow after you've taken the 12th class on healing or whatever. Not when you become a spiritual black belt or whatever. Not when you go through 12 fellow labor programs and you get the approval of the leadership. Now, when you got born again, you received that ability. And you can operate the power of God. And that was God's plan. That was God's plan all along. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. God wanted there to be more than one person walking around representing him with his power. He wanted there to be more than one. Jesus Christ was perfect. He did things, you know, we could never walk like he walked. He was the only begotten Son of God. But as a family with different long suits and different abilities we all have, you know, long suits in manifesting, we can be a powerful presence wherever we go. And that was God's intent. In 1 Corinthians 2, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world began. What I'm teaching you was a mystery. God hid it from the adversary. Nobody knew that after Jesus Christ ascended, people were going to get born again and receive the Spirit of God, the power of God. I'm in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Is that what I said? What did I say? Well, that's what it is. If I say that's what it is. If you're really sincere, you'll find it. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? God hid it. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world began. God planned it, but nobody knew it. Why? Which none of the princes of this world knew. The people that Michael was talking about, the spirits that make this place, this horrible, gloomy place, the ones who rule the world and make everything so rough and hard on everybody, they did not know the mystery, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, this is amazing, they would not have what? Crucified. The adversary would rather have Jesus Christ still alive today, going from place to place, helping people, than you, all of you, having the same abilities, going every place, helping people. He would rather have Jesus Christ than this many people with Christ in them who could go all over the world and help people all over the world. One definition of this mystery is Christ is the head of his body, which is the church, and all members of that body are filled with all spiritual blessings by God. All members of that body are filled with all spiritual blessings by God. Look at Ephesians 3, and that's you. You are filled with all spiritual blessings by God. All the wonderful things of God is in you when you got born again. And that's your real identification. Sometimes wouldn't it be cool? Sometimes I wonder, why can't we just get born again and go right to heaven? Why do we have to suffer here and have jobs and stuff like that and drive in traffic and sit next to dogs on planes or babies on planes or even go on planes? Well, God wants you here, even if it's hard for you sometimes, so you could help somebody. Show people who he is. He cares about other people too. He doesn't want anyone to die. He wants everyone to have eternal life. And he needs you, God and Christ in you, to go from place to place representing him and healing people and helping people who are being oppressed by the devil. Did I say Ephesians? What did I say? Thank you. Ephesians 3, 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with what? All the fullness of God. You are filled with all the fullness of God. You are filled with everything God has. You have it in you. God and Christ in you. It's Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with, what's that say? All spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings you have. All spiritual blessings. 1 John 4. This is pretty cool because you can do those things. That makes life super interesting. Are you bored? No. Try manifesting Holy Spirit. Try walking around healing people. Try believing you can get revelation. Try asking God if there's a spirit in the room. You won't be bored. And you'll know what you're really all about and what your life is really supposed to be, who you really are, when you use that spirit that God has given you. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 4. You are of who?
God.
You are of God. That's who you are. You're not a part of this world. You're not in the kingdoms of the world. Like Michael said, you're visiting. You're here to help. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God in Christ in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So use your authority. Use your authority. Believe that you can do these things. Believe that God does work in you. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10. Wake yourself up, baby, you know? Wake yourself up to who you really are. You're not the regular guy in the mall. There's no malls no more anyway, is there? There's something about you. There's something more to you than what people can just see. It's Holy Spirit, and you can use it to help. And that's not boring. Romans 10, verse 15. Someone else will read the rest. Romans 10, 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, this is you. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Beautiful are the feet. That means the ugliest part of you, your stinky feet, are every part of you is so beautiful. You are just the most beautiful beings on this earth, people with Holy Spirit. When you got born again, you became a spiritual person. You entered the realm of spiritual beings. You're not like just a body and soul regular person. The second you got born again, you became a spiritual human, a spiritual individual. You joined those ranks. And when you preach the gospel of peace, you are the most beautiful, wonderful human to walk this earth. You are. Philippians 2. You are just the coolest, most beautiful. How beautiful are your worst parts? You're just amazing. Such a blessing to the earth, to the people of the earth. And that's your identity, by the way. In Philippians 2, remember the gloomy glooms of the glooms? What did you really say? That was really cool what you said. What was that gloomy part?
Gloomy darkness.
Gloomy?
Gloom and darkness.
Ah, see? Have you noticed that the world kind of is horrible sometimes? You're the cure. Jesus Christ, he came to help people who are oppressed of the devil, all the gloom. Now it's you. You're the answer. Why don't people see God do more stuff? Why don't they? Philippians 2, 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, not a part of the problem, not adding to the evil, not adding to the confusion, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Oh, it is a rotten place, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. What a surprise. I kind of noticed something was going on. It's even in the Bible. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, but in this dark, crooked, perverse place, what are you? A light. You shine as a light. You're the most beautiful being, and you shine as a light in this gloomy, gloomy place. Everywhere you go, when Jesus Christ was on earth, it was wherever he went. Now, everywhere all of us go, you are a light. You are just a beautiful spiritual being who represents God and has the power of God and the authority to use it. John 7. God kind of knew we'd never be perfect. When I was 19, I was planning to be perfect. When I was like 60, I decided, probably not going to be perfect. And yet I can still manifest spirit. I can still heal people, get revelation, know what's going on everywhere I go, you know, do signs, miracles, and wonders. I could fall off this thing right now and spin around. I'd still be righteous before God, and I could still walk for God, you know? Don't talk yourself out of this because you condemn yourself all the time. By the way, you're not smarter than God. Maybe you don't like yourself, but God sure likes you. God thinks you're the most beautiful being. God thinks you're a light of this world. Sometimes you're not the authority on stuff, even yourself. In John 7, 38, it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's a beautiful statement there. And it's like out of your whole being, the most refreshing stuff will come. Like you're like a person in a desert land, and you're the one who brings the water. You're the most refreshing, helpful, kind person that people will come across. It's like I said, it's like everyone's living in this gloomy, gloom, desert. dying of thirst. And who's got the water? You have the water. You have Holy Spirit in you, and out of you can come all this wonderful stuff for people. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You have Holy Spirit. God's intent, out of you comes all this refreshing, wonderful stuff. You are the most beautiful beings on this planet. You are the lights of this world and the most refreshing, healing, and helpful people on this earth, because you have the greatest resource, God in Christ in you. And that's your identity. Psalm 113. So you, wherever you go, it's Christ in you, God in Christ in you. And you bring the presence of God or with you. In Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all the nations, and his glory above the heavens. He's high. He's the one true God. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? And then it says, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the earth. He cares about what goes on the earth. He's high. He's the one true God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. But he cares about what goes on here. He cares about what goes on with you. And when you walk for him, it's like he's visiting and helping, because you carry God in Christ in you. He humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the earth. And look, he just wants to do kind, wonderful things for people. He wants them to have eternal life for free as a gift. He wants them to prosper and be in health. He wants them to live a more than abundant life in every category. That's what he wants for people on the earth. Verse 7, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. He just helps people, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. He maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. So what? Praise ye the Lord. He helps people. And you, with God and Christ in you, represent God on this earth. And you carry out the wonderful things that God can do for people. You carry them in yourself. And that's your real identity. You identify as a son or daughter of God with the power of God in you.